Our study tonight is out of 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. True godly love's exposition of the unseen God. Jesus said that the world would recognize his followers by their love for one another. In John chapter 13, verse 35, he shared that information just before his crucifixion. However, the love that godly believers authors embedded in righteousness differs from that of the lost world's love, especially in godly love's exposition of the unseen God, as is taught in 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 to 16, as follows. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 12 and going to verse 16. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father hath sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that the God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Okay, since God is a spirit, according to John 4:24, remember when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well? He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's not in external ritualism, it has to be from the heart. That's what he was talking about. Well, God is a spirit, so John observed that no human being in the flesh has ever seen God. Now, God may be seen in a theophany or an anthropomorphism where he assumes a visible form for the purpose of interacting with man, but no man has actually seen his essential nature. It's interesting, when Abraham met God, God was there with two angels, and he looked just like a man. And so Abraham killed the fatted calf, and he fed the Lord. But God was appearing as a man, not in his real form. Then when God appeared to Ezekiel, he has appeared to him like a giant chariot. There had all these wheels, and the wheels were spinning. Fire was in the wheels, and God was sitting on top of the chariot, and his body looked like it was a flame of fire. Okay? And that's how God appeared in his glory. That's a different appearance. That's a theophany. But God is a spirit. He's actually unseen to the human eye, but we'll see him someday in glory, with all of his glory. And see, we couldn't look at God right now and survive. If we looked at God in his full glory, we would cease to exist. We're not formatted for it now, but we will see him someday in glory. However, if we believers love one another with God's love, God remains, that's the Greek word meno, in us, in the sense of expressing his fellowship with us, and his love is permanently made complete. Teteleomene in the Greek is the perfect passive participle of teleao, or complete or accomplished. In other words, God's love is permanently made complete in us if God is fellowshipping with us. So, in this way, like Jesus revealed the Father in his earthly life, remember in John 1:18, Jesus has fully expounded the Father to the world, so forth. Believers, by their true godly love for each other, expressed in true spiritual fellowship with the Lord, reveal the unseen God to the world. This is an interesting thing. When you're walking around, or when you're interacting with an unsaved person, if you're fellowshipping with the Lord and you have the love of God seen through you, that personality, that love that is there, is actually an evidence of God the Father, because that's the Father's love that is expressed. This is why the greatest example, or the greatest, let me put it this way, witness that a Christian has to the world is to be controlled by God, because then he's exhibiting the love of God. And when you exhibit the love of God, people pick up on that. Unsaved people sense that. They can't put their finger on it. They don't know, fully understand it, but they sense it. And that's what John is talking about in this point. Well, the question then arises as to how do we know whether we remain, or meno, in God, whether we actually fellowship with him so that we can express his true love and thus manifest him, the unseen God, unto the world. So John adds that we know this by the Holy Spirit, whom he has permanently given to us. The Greek word is dedoken. It's the perfect tense. And that's another evidence that you have eternal security. It comes out in the Greek. Dedokin is a perfect tense. God has forgiven us. He's given us a spirit in the past. That spirit is still with us, and that spirit will still be with us on into eternity. In other words, 10 trillion years from now, that spirit will still be with us. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the spirit, and he will remain with you forever. And so we have eternal security. Once again, this is why I encourage people, if they want to learn Greek, it's wonderful. You find out all the times that God, many, many times, talks about the security that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has given us the Holy Spirit. Now, though John established in his gospel back in John chapter 15, verse 7, that such fellowship is marked by obedience to the Bible, or the Word of God, he notes here that it is marked by the exposition of the Holy Spirit in the believer. And if the Holy Spirit exhibits, according to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, he exhibits love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we know that we fellowship with God and truly love each other when these characteristics exist in us. In other words, if a Christian exhibits love and joy and peace and all these qualities, that's the evidence that the Spirit of God is in him and he's fellowshipping with the Lord. If he doesn't exhibit these, then he doesn't. I heard Pastor McNally one time from Faith Bible Church attended a seminar when he was still with the mission that he was with up in Olcott, New York. And there was a Christian who is a counselor, who is a Christian therapist, working. And he said, if you take the opposite of all of these qualities of the Spirit, instead of love, hate, joy, sorrow, peace, unrest, patience, impatience. Each one of those is a known form of neurotism or neurotic behavior or abnormal behavior. But the Holy Spirit reverses all that. So this man's belief, and I'm completely in agreement with it, was what people need is the Holy Spirit. If they have the Holy Spirit, they will not be neurotic in their behavior. They won't have any psychological problems at all. It's very interesting. The Holy Spirit is the healthiest entity that we have, and the Holy Spirit produces that wonderful health within us. So when we see these qualities dwelling in us, we have permanently seen. Tethiametha is a perfect tense of theomai. And we have permanently seen or gazed upon and see, and therefore we dare testify to the world that the unseen Father truly sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. In other words, we have seen the unseen Father expressed in our mutual fellowship with one another, and we thus testify by expressing that love and by witnessing of it to the world in our love expression that the unseen Father is real, and that he has saved and transformed us to reflect his character, proof that he sent Christ to save us and the world. So in this way, true godly love for each other becomes our great gospel witness before the unsaved world, as Jesus predicted in John chapter 13, verse 35. We had this experience occur at the wedding. There were a lot of believers there, very devout believers, some from the south, some from here in Connecticut and so forth. And I was talking with Mr. Terwilliger today, and he said at the wedding, the thing that most impressed me most was, he says, you could absolutely sense the presence of God. There were so many Christians there, and they were devout, and they were 100% behind the Word of God that was being presented. He says it was an overwhelming experience. It was actually greater than the wedding itself, you can put it in that perspective. He's talking about his own son marrying and so forth. But the very fact that these believers were there, and there was the Spirit of God, was very, very evident just within the body, just within the group that was there. It was a tremendous testimony to Mike, and also I believe it would have been a testimony to unsaved people. You don't have to preach or shout the gospel very hard. The unsaved world senses the presence of the Spirit of God. Years ago, my father said that there was a man that came to his church that was saved out of demonism. And he said, when I was in witchcraft and demonism, he said, when we would walk down a street corner, down a sidewalk, there would be sometimes Christians would walk on the other side or on the same side of the street, and the demons would warn us about this person or that person. They would say, that's a Christian, stay away from him, they're dangerous. Why? Because they didn't want the Christians witnessing to this man so that he'd come to know Christ as his Savior. But he said, once I accepted Christ as my Savior and I found out that there was liberation from these spirits, he said, it completely transformed me, and now I want to be bold in sharing with Jesus others about the Lord. He said, we actually have by far the greater power of the Holy Spirit within us than the demons that are out there. So it's very true. We actually demonstrate the unseen God to the world when we fellowship with the Lord. Now, if we believers then confess that Jesus is the Son of God by way of expressing this true godly love, God remains in us. There's the word meno again, that's fellowship. And we in God in mutual spiritual fellowship, and we thereupon permanently know. Agnokamen is a perfect tense of gnosko, to know. And we permanently believe, pepistu kamen, the love that God has in us. So by expressing our true love to one another before the world, we thereby confess Jesus to be the Son of God and witness the fact that the godly love is assuredly in us as we fellowship with the Lord. I'll never forget, many years ago, there was a very ungodly teacher in our secular high school that I attended. And there was a drug bust that was going on. The police were going through all the lockers in the school and everything. And my mother got into a conversation with this teacher. And this teacher knew that my mother was a Christian, that my brother was a Christian and everything. And this unsaved teacher said, there's something unique about you Christians. You genuinely care for one another, don't you? My mother said, of course. No, why wouldn't we? But he picked it up, and he was a very godless man. And it's just amazing. The greatest testimony that we have to the world that Jesus Christ indeed truly has come into the world is that connection, that love that Christians have for one another. An old Roman general once tried to describe to the Roman emperor what a Christian was, and he said, Christians are people who know each other before they meet. It's a very good illustration. You can have a stranger that you've never met before. If they know the Lord, they come in, you can fellowship with them immediately because there's a connection there with the Holy Spirit. So in the truest sense then, since God is love as to the very core of his being, he who fellowships, there's meno again, in God's sphere of godly love truly remains, or meno, in spiritual fellowship with God, and God remains in spiritual fellowship with him. So when we believers not only heed God's word and thus fellowship with him, but when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit so that God's qualities of love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control abound in us toward one another, evidence of God's true love, we thereby expose the character of the unseen Father to the world, like Jesus did in his earthly ministry. And we thus testify that he sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, since God has saved and equipped us to express that kind of love. We also thus find great assurance in the Lord that we truly love and truly fellowship with him by such expressions of godly love. So, may we rely on the Holy Spirit to obey Scripture and express God's true love as authored by the Holy Spirit, assuring our hearts that we fellowship with him and giving God's great witness to the lost and to the needy world. I want to tell you an interesting story. You've probably all heard of the passing of Dr. J. Dwight Pentecost, who was a professor at Dallas Seminary for many years. He passed away, I think he's about 96 years of age, a giant in the faith. When he passed, the Christian world was full of emails and Facebook writings and everything about him. I knew him personally, my wife knew him personally, and we worked with him in his church at Dallas. And it was just wonderful. When he'd get up in the pulpit, it was a unique thing. When he'd get up in the pulpit, he was like a lion. I mean, he preached very powerfully the Lord. But when you met him in the foyer afterwards, he was the most shy man that you've ever met. In fact, he would spend half his time bouncing up and down on his feet like this because he was so nervous if you talked to him individually. He was very, very nervous, very shy. And that was a turnoff to a number of people because they wanted a person who was not only dynamic in the pulpit, but who was dynamic out of the pulpit. And eventually what they did is they pressured him out of the church. Can you believe it? He's one of the great spiritual leaders. They pressured him out of the church because of his personality. He didn't have the type of personality that the people wanted. Now, my wife and I knew Dr. Pentecost personally, and we thoroughly enjoyed coming up to him. And when we came up to him and we saw how nervous he was, he would bounce up and down. We tried to make him set him at ease by joking with him and saying something nice and just interacting with him. But we never found that it was a turnoff to us. In fact, we were attracted by that because he was, even though he was such a famous international teacher, he was so shy that it made him feel, we felt that we could approach him. He was easy to get along. My wife actually loved to be around him because he was so easy to get along with. Very meek man, very humble man. You get him in the pulpit, he's one man. You get him out of the pulpit, it's completely different. But it became a barometer for us to discern whether people really walk with the Lord or not. The people who love the Lord love to be with this man, whether he was in the pulpit or out of the pulpit. People who had a sort of a carnal viewpoint couldn't stand his personality out of the pulpit because he wasn't, the typical backslapping guy outside of the pulpit. That always, it bothered me a lot. But it's interesting, we can tell by our love for one another. One of the things that Dr. Pentecost, whether he's in the pulpit or out of the pulpit, you could always tell he had a tremendous love for the people of God. He loved the church. He loved being in the church, loved being with God's people. And he loved being around young people and kids as well. So it's very important that we pay attention to real spiritual godly love and that we actually live it in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit.